90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today we're going to have a discussion with Stacy Johnson Crosby. She's a local realtor, about rental assistance programs available in the Kansas City metropolitan area. Good morning, Stacy. Are you here with us?
I'm here. Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing well. And can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from Kansas City?
No, I'm not. I'm an Okie from Muskogee. I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma, but our family moved here when I was in the sixth grade, and so I consider myself a Kansas Cityan for the long haul because of that. So we've been here forever.
Stacy, how did you get started in real estate?
Well, it's crazy. I have a twin sister, and she's 13 minutes older than me, and I used to do what Tracy did. And so she said, when we were still in college, we were like 18, 19 years old, she used to say, I want to take a real estate class. I want to take a real estate class. And so, of course, when Tracy took the class, I took the class. And so we ended up getting our license. We were probably like 20, 21 years old. And she has since left the business, and she does personal safety programs for real estate agents. But she's getting me hooked. So we both got in the business together, and I just never left.
So how long have you worked as a realtor?
I got my real estate license before I got my degree from UMKC. And so I've had my license for 34 years. So a long, long, long time.
Stacy, we are currently under an eviction moratorium. What is the eviction moratorium?
It's a devastating blow to our housing industry, to private property rights, and to contracts. And so the government during the pandemic, as you remember, Joseph, they had to shut the economy down to keep people from working. They closed businesses. And during that time, of course, when a lot of people, you lose your job, you lose your income. And so the theory was, of course, that you cannot pay your bills. How can you pay if you're not getting money? The problem is that they chose the housing industry. And within our industry, and I happen also to be a landlord. My husband and I, we've done that probably 26, 27 years. We're housing providers. So our small business provides housing for people to rent. And so what the government did is it told our business only, first of all, you must give your products away free of charge. So the eviction moratorium told us that we could not collect rent that was due to us. And you know, when people lease a property, they sign a contract that says on the first of the month, I'll pay you rent. And so in this case, government steps onto our contract, which I've never seen it before. And they stepped into the contract and said, Stacy and Dwayne, you know, your tenants that are in your place, you must let them live there free because of the pandemic. You can't charge them rent, and you can't do what your contract allows you to do to collect on that, which is to go to court. You can't evict them and remove them to get someone who is just as deserving of housing to come in that can pay the rent. You must keep them at your own expense. You must house them. So the CDC eviction moratorium broke all kinds of contract laws and then jeopardized its personal property. Because what it did is sent a message to all of us, and it was chilling. And the government, it was pretty much a government taking. They said, we're going to use your property to house our fellow citizens that have been negatively impacted. Never seen anything like that before, and hope never to see it again. And I cannot wait for it to be over, because it just something that told us that you own the property, yeah, but the government can do with it what they want. That's not a good message to send, and it's not great to realize that happened, because if they did it with our industry, the housing industry, what's next? When there's another government, quote-unquote, emergency, and then people are hungry, are they going to mandate that restaurants and grocery stores give the food away free with the promise, oh, they'll pay you back later? And so we have to be concerned about how they stepped on private property rights and told us that they control property, when the real answer, Joseph, would have been immediately make rental assistance available. So if Mary can't pay her rent, the government steps in and says, you know, we shut the economy down. It's not your fault. The Stacy, the housing provider, it's not your fault. Mary, the tenant, here's the rental assistance. We're going to get the rent paid for you. Keeps my business going, and it keeps her securely housed. And they didn't do that.
How long has the rental with the eviction moratorium been in place?
Well, there are different ones. The CDC came into effect in September, but various across the country, various different jurisdictions may have had moratoriums too in place. And there was one with like for government-backed properties that was put in place before that. But the CDC eviction moratorium was the one that's sweeping, that impacted 95% of the rental properties in the country. The other ones, you know, are kind of, you know, patchwork. But that's the devastating one that started in September, and they've been extending it since then.
So when is the eviction moratorium scheduled to end?
Not soon enough. October the 3rd. And we're hopeful that they do not extend it again. And they think they're doing something good when they extend it. They think they're, quote-unquote, protecting tenants. But what I say, Joseph, is that it's not. It's just kicking the can down the road because those tenants will have to pay the rent. And a lot of them don't think so. So they're hearing like tenant activists saying, you know, rent should be free, cancel rent. And then they're hearing the eviction moratorium that they can't be evicted for non-payment of rent. But what they don't realize is that the day will come where the rent will be due. And so when those when they extend it 2 months, all it means for us is that a tenant's going to get two more months behind. And they're going to be, you know, some people have not paid rent, and some housing providers who many times have to pay mortgages, have to maintain the property. And when a tenant calls because the air is out, they better find the money to go over there and get it on. Many of those housing providers have not received rent in some cases for over a year. That is not fair. It's not right because there are people just like me. How can I afford at my expense to house someone and to continue paying my bills when they're not paying the rent? The business revenue is not coming in. But I'm expected to hold up my end of the contract. It's not sustainable. It's not fair. And as the president said recently, he's going to extend it, even though support extending it, even though it wasn't constitutional. And so it's unconstitutional, illegal, unfair, and it's going to break the back of the affordable housing industry and a lot of people like me who have investment rental properties that will that the income is to supplement like income and for retirement income. It's going to hurt all of us.
Stacy, some states like Oregon, the governor has extended the moratorium on December 31st, and you just briefly mentioned that. Do you see it possibly being extended, or is this something that they maybe shouldn't do?
They should not do it. What government needs to do is to, first of all, mind their business and get the money out. That's number one goal for the government. They have billions of dollars in rental assistance, and as you know, and we've been hearing in the news, it's not getting out. Only a small fraction of it is getting out to those who need it. And so instead of spending all of their time on trying to extend the eviction moratorium, which is an artificial deadline and helps no one, they need to get all hands on deck. They need to get every available government employee to try to figure out what can we do to make the process easier, because it is a cumbersome process. There's a lot of documentation needed. And at this point, they say that it needs to be submitted on the computer. And there's some workarounds where that, you know, you may be able to get a printed application. But it is a hard process. They have made it hard. They need to spend their time, government employees, elected officials, all of those who are interested in this topic, they need to figure out how to streamline the process, make it easier for people to apply. They need to figure out how to get the word out about the program, because people may, I mean, many people, housing providers and tenants, don't even know there's money available, and the ones that do know may not know how to access it. And then once they access it, it is a cumbersome process. It's really hard to get through. So that's where the government needs to focus its energy, is on getting that money out the door and not look at anything else, but focus on that. And with that, you don't need an eviction moratorium, because then you start getting the rent paid. And then when the rent gets paid, you don't have to worry about delaying it. And I think each delay just gives government more time to be inefficient. It gives them a relief, like, oh, okay, people aren't going to get kicked out. We're safe. No, we need to get the assistance into their hands today. And if I could say one more thing really quickly, the eviction moratorium, people think it's helpful for tenants, Joseph. It is not, because like I said, it keeps, the tenant is going to owe that amount. And so some tenants now over a year's worth of past due rent. And if the eviction moratorium gets lifted, and once they get evicted, because it will be lifted one day, once they get evicted, all at once that money is going to be due. And if they do not pay it, they will be evicted. So now they're going to end up homeless. They're going to end up owing thousands of dollars they cannot pay. And they're going to end up with a barrier because no other housing provider, a good quality housing provider, is going to be willing to accept someone that didn't pay their debt to their previous creditor. And we're going to cause a problem. So why not focus on letting them get that rent and that past due debt paid today and get it wiped out, because the money is there to help them. And they can also apply for 3 months forward if they still need more time to get their family and their income stabilized. The money is there. Let's use it.
So as you were kind of alluding to, Stacey, so we've had millions of people across the United States been laid off or lost their job due to the pandemic. So when all the moratoriums end, and then they come back and they're thousands of dollars back and behind in rent, and they don't have the money to be able to do that, what's going to happen to those people who are residing in those places at that time?
They will be evicted.
So will they? And you just mentioned it also. So now you're evicted, and you've got a judge. Somebody's went to court and put a judgment against you for $15,000-$16,000. What happens at that particular point to the person?
Then they're going to be they're in trouble. So the eviction moratorium allows the can to be kicked down the road, and they're doing it in the name of tenant protection, and it's not protecting them. That's my whole point. Because at the end, the money will be due, and the focus is too much on let's extend the eviction moratorium, where the focus could be on all these people who are saying they're advocating for tenants. Why in the world don't we see them saying, "Hey guys, there's rental assistance. Apply, get this, you know, get that past due rent caught up." Because this money could cover from the past 12 months rent and utility assistance. I know someone who was behind on rent. She got $10,000 to get caught up, and then a couple thousand on her past due utilities. And so she had a fresh start. And so all of these people, when you see someone advocating for the extension of the eviction moratorium, you have to stop and ask yourself why. Because it helps no one. We don't want to extend and delay the issue. And so those people are going to end up at the end of the eviction moratorium when it gets lifted on October the 3rd. The owners of those properties rightfully will go take them to court to get them out of the house and to get someone that can pay into the house, because this is not charity work for us. Like I said, we're small business people, and we expect our revenue to come in so that we can pay our bills. And many of my peers who are landlords or housing providers have or will lose their properties. They're going to lose their property to foreclosure. Because if you have and many of us lost jobs. I didn't, but many of my peers worked, you know, full-time jobs, and in the shutdown, they lost jobs. And so they were worried about their own households and how they were going to pay their bills. And then government stepped in and said, hey, you're going to have to cover the household, your tenants. You're going to have to let them live rent-free, too, and you're going to have to pay the mortgages on those properties, too. And so think about the gross unfairness that I have to take care of my household, and now I got to take care of somebody else's. And what if you have two, three, four, five, six tenants not paying the rent? You got to make the mortgage payments for those properties, and they're living in there rent-free. Not a care in the world, because the eviction moratorium says you can't kick them out for not paying their rent. It is not unfair. I mean, it is not fair, and it's not sustainable. And so that tenant, at the end of it, when you think you're protecting them, back to your question, Joseph, they're going to end up, let's say they get to October 3rd, the eviction is filed, they go to court, the judge is going to say, you signed a contract saying you're going to pay the rent on the first of the month. Have you done that? The answer is no. Eviction is granted. And so now they're going to have to leave that property, so potentially homeless. They're going to have to find someone that's willing to take them now with bad credit. Because not only do you have an eviction on your record, which means that you didn't pay your previous creditor what it was owed to them, and so that says something, but now you owe thousands of dollars. And if you couldn't pay $600, $700 a month, how in the world do they expect you to pay, like you said, maybe, you know, $15,000, $10,000 at once? Because that's the only way you're going to be able to stay. And that stays with you. When you get ready to buy a house, you're going to have that judgment on your credit. So they're going to say, nope, you know, you owe $10,000 to somebody outstanding. No, you can't get a loan for a house. You're not going to be able to get car loans and other kind of credit. And if you do, your rates are going to be really high because they're taking the risk with you. And so it's better not to put yourself in that position where you damage your credit but to take advantage of the money that's out there by the billions. Apply, get the rental assistance, pay your debt, and stay in your home and keep it stabilized and keep that small, that local small business housing provider, keep them in business where they can pay their bills and take care of their families too.
We've got a caller on line too, Stacy, so go ahead. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from and what your question or comment is?
Hey, yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Gabe Coppage. Mm-hmm. I'm a resident of the 3rd District. And, yeah, like, I was just calling in regards to the eviction moratorium and Stacy Johnson's comments, you know, like, that the eviction moratorium is just, like, bad for private property rights. And that, you know, like, I just don't understand what else she's concerned about except her bottom line. Like, if she really cared about these tenants that haven't had jobs for, like, over a year now, then I think she would understand why the eviction moratorium is in place. And, like, rental assistance, it is out there, but it's not being given to tenants, so I don't really understand what they're supposed to do. I don't really see how rental assistance is anything besides the bailout for property owners and landlords that just have the privilege to own a house. And the comments about whether food should be free, I definitely agree. I think that's a great point, that food, water, and shelter are human needs, and I don't think they should be privatized.
Okay. Well, we're going to thank you for those comments. We're going to talk about all three programs here in a second. I'll give Stacy a second to respond to that.
I have a question for Gabe. Gabe, do you own a home?
I do not.
You don't own a home right now?
No, I do not.
Okay. So, and Gabe, you are a member of the KC Tenant. So my question for you is, why haven't you all tried to keep people in their homes, tenants? Because you know that if you don't pay the rent, you'll be evicted. You do understand that part, right? The contract part of that?
Yeah, I've signed a lease before.
Okay, absolutely. So you know that you signed saying that you're going to pay the rent on the first of the month, and if you don't, you'll get evicted. So that is the contract, right?
Right.
Okay, and so you know that evictions are a way to correct that. So you know if you don't pay, you're going to end up evicted. And so if you know that we have tenants that if you are a part of the tenant advocate group, tenants that need to stay housed, we need to make sure they're protected, they're not evicted, and that they're housed, why in the world wouldn't you all spend all of your energy telling them, here's rental assistance, here's how you can get your rent paid so that you do not have to worry about being evicted? Why wouldn't you put energy on helping those tenants stay housed?
Yeah,
and we know the way to prevent eviction is to pay the tenants,
and you must not know what we're doing. We actually have a hotline that we established over a year ago, and we direct tenants. We're not a direct service provider, but we do direct tenants to those services, including rental assistance. But everything we've heard from tenants we've directed is that they're not getting that money. And, you know, like, we've tried to offer people rental assistance and tried to inform them about the rules of the eviction moratorium, but still people are getting evicted and becoming homeless and therefore criminalized regardless. And so I just think with, you know, it's the COVID-19 pandemic is not just some minor crisis. Like, it's a huge deal and it's still going on, you know. So I think that there just needs to be better solutions. I don't think that you're necessarily the person to come up with that, but just having some empathy for another human being.
Okay, and if I can answer, I want to answer that. The empathy that I have, and I'm sure that you can have examples of people that you've housed at your expense. I have homeless veterans that I house, people who are formerly homeless or no longer homeless, because we give them a chance and they live in our property. So you're saying empathy, that's probably the wrong word to use to accuse me of not having. I'm also part of two different programs with two different school districts where our number one goal is to house homeless students. And I'm sure you're probably involved in some of those efforts as well, where I have actually gone out and I purchased a property to house a student in my, a family in my school district. And I don't know what kind of things you've done, but to accuse me of not being empathetic is probably a wrong move on your part because you don't know me. And you're talking about being
like, criminalized. I don't have the privilege to be able to buy homes for people and then charge them money for it. It's one thing to be empathetic. Another thing to get checks for it.
We're good.
It's a business. I'm a business person. I'm a business person with a heart. And so I don't know what kind of business you run or if you've opened your home up to let homeless people come into your home. But what I've done to help homeless people is I've provided housing for them. And nobody expects to live rent-free because it doesn't work like that in our society. You are going to pay. And I'm a business person. I have to feed my family. And what you call profits, I call revenue and I call income. And that income comes into my home so I can pay the expenses to live. I'm not sure if you know how business works, but I'll tell you something else, too. Rental assistance, you said, and you all say this a lot, that rental assistance is a bailout for the landlords. What you have to know is you signed a contract that says on the first of the month, you're going to pay the rent. If you do not pay the rent, you can go to get rental assistance that can help you pay the rent. And your goal is for the rent to be paid, because if it does not get paid on the first, you will be evicted. So wherever you can get that assistance, if it's government and our taxpayer dollars is where the rental assistance is today, if a tenant can apply for that and get the rent paid, then they are secure in their housing and they have somewhere to live. What does it matter to you where it comes from as long as they get the rent paid? And yes, the payment is coming to me. I'm the business owner who then has expenses to pay for that product. The product is not free.
Our goal today is to discuss the programs, and I thank you, Gay, for calling in. But let's get on track because we've got three different programs that we're working with, Gay, that will help those out there. There's a state program, there's a county program, and there's a city program. So thank you. So let's kind of get back on target here. Stacy, we'll start with this one first. Kansas City has a rent and utility assistance program, which $14.8 million is in that fund. How can people, well, first, who is eligible to apply for funding from the rental assistance and utility assistance program?
Okay, and so for people to find out who is eligible, they can go to mohousingresources.com. There's a website, it's mohousingresources.com. Anyone in the state of Missouri, this covers the entire state, and on that website, it'll show the chart of what the income is and who qualifies and then the documentation that you must have in order to apply. But I will, just to give you an example, the income level for a family of two, you have to earn less than $55,000. So if you earn less than $55,000, you qualify. And so you'll see that the amount is pretty, you know, it's pretty high. It's not very low, so it can cover a lot of people. But the website will give details on the qualifications, the guidelines, and the actual application is there. So if someone today is hearing this program and some of the people, you know, the tenants that need help, if they say, I need rental assistance, they can go to mohousingresources.com to start the application process. And on there, again, it shows what the qualifications are. You mentioned Missouri, the Kansas City, Missouri. At this point, the money that they have allocated is all allocated out, so they're not taking new applications. If someone is interested, they just launched a program this week where you can check and follow up on your application. If you said, hey, I want to see where my application is, something Gabe mentioned that is right is that it is taking a long time for people to get assistance. And if you've applied, you know, just know that you have to be patient and you need to communicate with your housing provider. You need to let your landlord know, hey, I've applied, because both parties, either party can initiate the application, but both parties will have to come in and add information. So if the landlord starts it and puts their information in, there's going to be an email sent to the tenant and they must complete it. And then, you know, or the tenant can start it and then the landlord will get an email either way. But at some point, you'll get notified when the application is complete on both sides. A caseworker will be assigned, and normally that's somewhere 4 to 6 weeks. It's an awful long time. And that's where the people Gabe's talking about, that's where they need to be, you know, patient and just know that it's going to be about a month and a half before a caseworker is assigned. And at some point after that is when the checks will go out for the rental assistance. So it's not immediate, but it will eventually happen. You just need to be, you know, patient, unfortunately. You have to wait. But you need to keep the communication open between the landlord and the tenant to be able to say, hey, you know, I've applied, you know, we're waiting, I'm checking in and following up on the application. But what Kansas City has done, and I'm going to give a couple of phone numbers here. So for Kansas City, if you wanted to follow up on the application, the program, again, there's a follow-up program that's in place this week. You can call 211, and then they'll tell you how to follow up. It was just launched. It's brand new. So if your application is out, you've made it with Kansas City, you can go to call 211, which is the United Way, and say, where, you know, how can I find out where my application is in process? If you've applied through the mohousingresources.com, through that website, and you want to follow up and say, where's my application in the process, you can call 833-541-1599. I'll repeat it, 833-541-1599. Call that number to say, where's my application? And then they'll also, both of those numbers can tell you if you needed to get a paper application or if you need any more assistance. They can send you the right way. So either one can do that for you. But those are the follow-up numbers.
There's a number on the flyer that I have here. It's a city number because it's a 513 prefix. And it says, for information regarding rent, utility assistance, and legal services for eviction through the city, the number is 816-513-3026. Again, that's 816-513-3026 with the point of contact of Tiffany Drummer.
Yes, that's Tiffany, and she is wonderful. She's a great advocate for rental housing for the landlords and tenants. She's a great resource.
So there's a first source for you folks. The eligibility, I'm going to read off the flyer, says who is eligible. Any eligible renter household has at least one person who has qualified for unemployment benefits or experienced a cut in income, incur significant costs, or experience other financial hardship due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Second point is that they're at risk of experiencing homelessness. Risk factors include past utility bills or rent, or has an eviction notice, is living in unsafe and unhealthy conditions, has a household income of at or below 80% of the area median income. Income is determined by either the household's 2020 calendar year income or the household's monthly income at the time of application. Then the last part is eligible expenses, current and past due rent, current and past due utility bills, and also trash removal. Emergency rent assistance cannot be used for telephone, cable, or internet. And folks, so that's through the city of Kansas City. Again, the point of contact for that is Tiffany Drummer, and her number is 816-513-3026. So, Stacy, as you were talking about, now we have this pool of money of almost $15 million for the city that has now been used. So now people couldn't stack programs. You couldn't get money from the federal program, from the state, and then from county programs. You're only eligible for one program, correct?
Well, yes, and there is only one program. So the money comes from the federal government, then it goes to the state government, and then the state government allocates it out to, for example, the United Way, City of Kansas City, and the various counties. So it is really the same pot of money. You're just getting access to it from different organizations that will disseminate it.
Okay. So then also people that may be in the Kansas City, Missouri area can call 211 United Way of Greater Kansas City and get more information about it there too, correct?
Well, yes, and that's always a good place for people to know. If you can't remember any other phone number, remember 211, and this is anywhere in the country. You dial 211, connected to the closest United Way, and they will also not only help direct people towards, you know, where to go for rent and utility assistance, but they'll tell you where you can get clothing and food and mental health services, medical care. It's just a resource for people across all kinds of issues. So 211 is always a good number, and it's a good number to call if you don't remember any other number we talked about today to say, hey, I need help paying my rent, I need help with my utilities, and they will be able to point you to the appropriate organization. And let me say this too, you mentioned Tiffany Drummer with the City of Kansas City, our housing advocate for landlords and renters. The 513-3026, while they're not taking applications right now, we're going to talk about it in a minute, I know, they're going to open up, we're going to have a whole new pot of money coming in September, which will also help people with mortgages, but the city, when they get their allocation, will give money to various organizations in the community to disseminate to people who need help. And so she would be a great point of contact to call in and say, here are my circumstances. I am, I'm a felon, or I've been evicted before, or I have a family. She will say, okay, here's the best organization to go to, because we've given these organizations money. We've vetted these organizations. We've given them money, and here are the best ones for you and your circumstance. And so she is, like I said, a great hands-on knowledgeable resource for the housing community.
So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. And today's guest is Stacy Johnson Crosby. And we're talking about rental assistance programs available to help those who've been impacted by the pandemic here in Kansas City. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM KKFI. And our guest today is Stacy Johnson Crosby. And we're talking about rental assistance
and, you know,
program.
It's Cosby. Well, Joseph, Cosby. I have to tell you.
Cosby.
It's Cosby.
Cosby.
Drop that R.
Cosby. Sorry about that. Okay.
Yeah.
A few other places where people can go in the city that they may not understand is Chess Incorporated, which is right there located off of 31st and Gillum. And their number is 816-533-7417. For those who may live in the Northeast, Maddie Rhodes. And they can be reached at 816-471-2536. Community Assistance Council, which can be reached at 816-763-3277, extension 108. Metro Lutheran Ministries, which has two locations, one in Northland, and their number is 816-285-3137. Or for those who may live south of the river, 816-285-3139. Community Link, which is 816-531-3727. And the Greater Kansas City Housing Information Center, which is 816-931-0443. And then you also have, as we said, United Way 211, and also Guadalupe Center, 816-421-1015. So, Stacy, one of the things, as we've been saying at this, there is a lot of money out there for renters, and you briefly touched on it. I wanted to come back to it. For now, for those that may have a mortgage, is any of this money right now in these pots available to help them to catch up on their mortgage?
As of today, no. And so the CARES funding, which expired the end of last year, there is some money in there for mortgages. That's over. So this batch of money, no. But in September, there will be funding for those with mortgages, which I can't wait. And I'm not exactly sure why they were left out of it, because like I said earlier, everybody was impacted by the shutdown, not just tenants. And so even people who own not only those rental properties, you know, those landlords, that many of them lost their jobs, but many homeowners, people who have chosen to buy a home and invest in their community and in their family, those people have been impacted, and there hasn't been any relief available for them. So I'm glad to say that in September, there will be funds and funding available to help those with mortgages that were behind because of the pandemic. And so it's not just tenants only. As a matter of fact, in our city, only 46% of our population are renters. We need to look out for the people who are the majority in this case as well, which are the mortgage holders, people who've invested. And so that is coming in September.
So, Stacy, are these funds here available in Kansas City? Can they cross the river too, especially in the case of like 211, which operates on a regional basis? Or would people need to contact a location in Kansas if they live across the border, say in Wyandotte County or Johnson County or Shawnee Mission?
Well, there is. Kansas does have, and I'll have the website for you too. Kansas does have funding, but if you call, for example, 211 and say, I live in Kansas, they will direct you to the Kansas Resources Corporation. And if I can say really quickly, I didn't say this as part of my introduction when you asked me to tell me about yourself, about myself. I am not only a realtor with Reese Nichols, but I am I mentioned the landlord, a housing provider is what we call ourselves because that's more of an apt description. But I am the president of the KC Regional Housing Alliance. And that organization is the organization of landlords and property managers and realtors and investors that we came together to speak with one voice for the rental housing industry, because there's no one that speaks for us clearly. And at a time like this today where we are impacted, we are the voice. So we provide rental housing. And as a matter of fact, the members of our alliance, all of the various organizations, we represent over 100,000 rental units in our region. So we know a little bit of something about rental housing, and we don't see anyone else out there that is stepping up to speak about it during this pandemic and the danger that the industry is in. We don't see anyone out there to protect the renters who need help staying in our properties, and we don't see anyone else speaking about the housing providers, the ones who chose as a business to provide housing for rent for people. And so that's us. And so that is why we have launched various virtual events. We just did one Friday, and I'll share information about how people can find that. But we're sharing information about this money that's available. Okay. And we're going to come back again next month, and we're going to do that for the for people with mortgages. We're a resource for information. Nobody else is spreading the word about how to access it and what's available. And so we stepped up to do that, and we're doing everything we can to get the word out that help is available, and telling people how to access it.
So for those who may live in Kansas, I've looked the site up. It is rent, rentassistance.us. /ST/Kansas, and so that's rentassistance.us/ST/Kansas, and that's how you can find rental assistance programs for those who live in the state of Kansas. They're in 27 cities, so I've looked at it, folks. They go from Wyandotte to Junction City, so no matter where you may be located or where you may be living in Kansas, they're out there and they have rental assistance available in 24 different sites across 27 different cities. So for those that are in Kansas, definitely it's a place to look at for that. And if you're in Missouri, then it's 211. Stacy, I know some programs like the rental assistance program through the Central City Economic Fund pay $3,000 per family have ended. When are these programs scheduled to end, and how imperative is it for people to apply now?
Well, I mean, regardless of when they end, and that's into, I think, next year. But the point is, don't wait. Apply today, because when the funds run out, they're gone. And what we know is that the amount that was allocated from the federal government, I think some $47+ billion, we know that that sounds like an awful lot of money, and it is, but it still doesn't cover the shortfall. And so there's actually, and Moody's Analytics has surveyed owners, and they said, you know, there's a dollar amount that is still due to owners that they have not collected, and I'm fearful may never collect. And so $47 billion does not cover it. And so my thoughts are, if you have rent that is due today, apply today. If you're a housing provider, your tenant has not paid the rent and has passed due amount, apply today. The money is there today. We need to use it, because once it's gone, it's gone. And so today there's a sense of urgency, and I don't see it. I don't see anyone saying get out there and apply for more than one reason. Number one, before it leaves. And number two, to prevent an eviction. If we want people not to be evicted, the easiest way to prevent an eviction for not payment of rent is to pay the rent. Let's get the rent paid.
Now, Jackson County has an emergency assistance rental program, and they have $11.5 million. And for those that are looking to get information through Jackson County, that website is Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, County, County.org/home. So I'm sitting here on the website. So it said they had $11.5 million, and again, like we talked about earlier, your income is at 80% or below the area median, and then they have a checklist. So this is one of the things, I'm pulling up the application checklist, and so it says you're going to need, before starting the application, please have the following documents in front of you. One, head of household to be the primary applicant. If there is an adult 18 years older, that person should be listed and should be the same person on the lease agreement and all utility bills. So, and then it says if the head of household is 17 years or younger, that is okay, and that person should apply. Primary applicant needs to have an identification card to upload into the application. Many types of identification are allowed, including state-issued driver's license, state-issued ID cards, military ID, U.S. or foreign passport, U.S. birth certificate, a permanent visa, permanent resident, tribal card, college, university, corporation, social security card, and for everybody who's 18 years or older, you're going to need to have a date of birth listed. And then if you've been working on, you need to upload 60 days worth of pay stubs. So, Stacy, there's a lot of information here. What happens if a person doesn't have access to a computer? Can United Way or 211 help them to be able to get this, take these documents from a paper situation to maybe an online situation? Or is there strictly limited to just a paper application?
Well, no, the online application is how it started out, that you must submit online. And so a lot of people, if you don't have a computer, it's a barrier. And so if you call, for example, the numbers that we gave, the Missouri, for people in Missouri, that 833-541-1599 number, you can call them and say, I do not have a computer. Can you send me a paper application? And they will send you the 35-page written application. So they have found ways, and 211 should be able to tell people where to find an organization that will help you with a paper application. We've given feedback that we've gone along the way. We've given feedback and said, hey, people, that don't have computers can't apply, or they're trying to go and get help different places. We have a tenant that's tried, this had, different family members try to help. We tried to help, and we just needed a better way. And so they have come up with a paper application. And the library, the Kansas City Library, has a community resource center where they will help people. And so if you are not able to, get help on the, any other place, they will help you. Call them, you make an appointment, and you can come into the library, sit down. They will help work through the checklist. They will help you submit your application. And they do this not only for rent and utility assistance, but they also do it for any other application that a person needs. They're a resource to help the community with a wide variety of issues and services. And so that is an option for you. And 211 may be able to point you to organizations that are helping in person, but the library is able to help people if you cannot apply online yourself. That's a good one-stop shop. Or you call the numbers and ask if they can send a paper application to you.
So, Stacy, how many months will the program pay if you are in arrears on your rent, and how many months will it pay if you're going forward on your rent?
Okay, so it will help 12 months back, rent and utility assistance. I mentioned the person that I know that is $10,000 and then got a couple thousand on utilities. There is no cap on the amount. And so if you are, and everything for the most part started with April 1st, 2020. Most of the dates are geared back to that. But 12 months back for rent and utilities, so there's no excuse for people to be in arrears with their rent. There are no excuses at all because the money is there, the opportunity is there. And going forward for rent, you can apply for 3 months forward. It is a separate application, and you need to be very specific when you apply because they won't assume that and they won't guess. You must say, I also want to apply for 3 months forward. And you can do that. If that's not for utilities, it's for rent only. But there's a possibility at the end of those 3 months, if there's still funds available, if you still qualify, you may be able to get help for another 3 months. And so their goal is to make sure, I mean, I think it's an awful lot of time, to make sure your families are stabilized and that you can, have a fresh start going forward. So no excuses. I'm going to say that, no excuses. And those groups that are out there helping tenants or helping homeowners, the money is there. Let's get the word out. Let's join together. There's no us versus them. It's not tenants versus landlords or versus homeowners. None of that is true. And we don't look at it in that way. We have to have tenants work, because the tenants need the rent landlords as much as the landlords need the tenants. We need each other. And along those lines, our group, the KC Regional Housing Alliance, a group of landlords, we're saying we need to work together. We need to support tenants. When tenants do well and succeed, we do well and succeed.
So, Stacy, how long has the KC Housing Alliance been in existence?
Our KC Regional Housing Alliance came about 3 years ago when we were dealing with an issue at City Hall. I looked around the room because, when things come up at City Hall, people all, if it's good or bad, if you're in support or non-support, you come out and testify for or against it. I looked around and saw this room full of all of these professionals in the housing industry. And I said, instead of us doing this as a one-off every now and then coming out, let's get together, let's be organized, and let's be prepared to speak with the voice of the industry going forward. And so, like I said, we're together, property managers, realtors, investors, landlord organizations, we're together, and our goal is to preserve the housing that we have today, the rental housing, which is affordable. Most of it's affordable. We need to keep it. We need to preserve it. But we also need to create more. We're in a crisis with affordable housing, and we are the people that create that affordable housing. It's people like me, everyday people. No one sees us. They see all the big developers going to the city council asking for incentives, but what they don't see is the rest of us out here who may own 5 homes or 20 homes, 50 homes, 100 homes as our business or as retirement income just everyday people, we are actually creating affordable housing. And we can't get city council to really listen to us because we say, hey, we have an affordable housing policy proposal. It's here. And these are things that we know work. They're not guesses. These are things that that we do when we create affordable housing. If you want more affordable housing, let's do more of it. And we put it in writing and said, here it is. Here's how we keep what we have and incentivize people like me and my peers to create more. I can go buy a house and renovate it in 2 or 3 months and have a family in it longer than the developers with their long development project that goes over months and years. They need to look at us. We're the low-hanging fruit. Get us to create more housing. But for that, we need the city council to be responsive and to look at us and see us and then to be willing to work with us because we're willing to work with them. We need more housing, and we're the only ones that can do that quickly and using our own money. We don't ask the city or taxpayers for money. And so anyway, that's our KC Regional Housing Alliance. We're renter, you know, we provide rental properties and properties for sale, and we are the experts in affordable housing in our market.
Stacy, the metropolitan area, as everyone knows, is in a housing crunch. Rent and property prices are increasing, and many people are finding themselves priced out. When you talked about a couple years ago, the Kansas City City Council put a price of over $1,000 a month as affordable in Kansas City. Is this affordable?
No, and they don't know it's affordable to somebody. And so let's start there. But would they, if the question is affordable, like in a certain price range, certain rent ranges, for example, my husband and I, our average rent is $600 a month that we charge. We need more people like us and small landlords, small business owners to create more housing. The affordable for me is something under $800 a month. That's, you know, how I would define it. But the city has different ways, and they have to use special formulas and calculations. And we're out here in the streets with the people, and so we know what renters want. And if they need something in that less than $800, $700 a month rent range, then the city needs to focus on the people providing that. And that's us. People like the people in my group, and many of us, because we're local housing providers, we're way below market in our rent. Most of us, and we talk about this all the time, we could charge more, but we don't. But if we keep seeing through the city all kinds of policies that are, you know, making it harder to do business and adding additional barriers and guidelines, then the rents will have to go up to cover those costs. We're business people. But our goal is to keep the rents reasonable and to keep the ownership local. We don't want out-of-town investors coming in. That's who's coming in now, buying the property from the people who haven't been paid rent for months and months and can't afford to hold on. They're going to sell, and they're going to sell to out-of-state investors who are going to come in and renovate and raise the rent. That's why we need to keep our local small business housing providers in business by getting the rent paid and keeping them floating and afloat.
Well, one of the things that, I don't know, there was a new survey that came out that the state with the highest rent is New York. And a one-bedroom is $2,800 a month in New York. And Kansas City came in at number 70th in the nationwide as far as the cost of rents. So people think that rent here may be expensive. If you're paying $2,800 in New York for a one-bedroom, you know, that means you're paying, if you've got a two-bedroom, you can be paying upwards of $4,000. And folks, you can buy a house for that. Versus leasing a house, leasing an apartment. I understand that everybody wants to be an investor. I mean, wants to be a property owner, you know. But in some cases, it's going to be how you spend your money, and you have to spend it maybe a little bit more wisely. Stacy, you all have a program coming up this weekend to help those who may look at wanting to be at a home event. I mean, you're coming up, you're involved with the home ownership event this Saturday, August 28th. Can you tell us just a little bit about it for those who may be interested in buying a home and reducing the amount that they're paying in rent and they're putting toward ownership?
Yes, and thank you for asking. And again, I want to say, too, thank you, Joseph, for doing this program with information out there for resources. I haven't seen this done before, so thank you for doing that. That's a service to your audience and to our community. But we are doing something for those who, and renting is not the only option. That's something else that we hear a lot. Everybody's just acting like rent is the only option, and you got to have free rent or low rent in order to survive. And what we say is home ownership, like you said, sometimes it's cheaper to own a home than it is to rent. And then, of course, you get the benefit of having an asset. You get to, if that investment builds equity. So we are doing an event Saturday at Mohart and it is a free home buyer's workshop. There's an opportunity for down payment assistance that someone may qualify for up to $15,000 in down payment assistance. And usually one of the biggest barriers is not having enough money to get into the property. So that addresses that issue. And we're going to talk about that Saturday. As a matter of fact, Chess Inc. will. And another issue, another barrier is credit. People have credit that are credit issues, bad credit. We're going to have someone there talking about how to repair and restore your credit so that you can buy a home in the future. And so to, in order to register, you can go to Real Talk Real Estate Series, the Real Talk Real Estate Series .eventbrite.com. And so we say Real Talk because it's not sugar-coated. We're going to put it all out there. What you need to do, if your goal is one day to buy a home, we want to help you create the plan. So it's Real Talk Real Estate Series .eventbrite.com. We're going to be on Zoom, or we're going to be in person at the Mohart Center. We're going to have COVID protocols in place. You have to register and be on the list in order to get in. But we're Zoom or in person, or you'll be able to dial in. But our goal is to help create homeowners. We don't all need to be renters. And I look at these events where I see the tenant groups out there begging for free rent or demanding free rent. Everybody doesn't think that way. And for those who want something to be able to pass along to your children, like to pass that wealth from generation to generation, to have a home with some equity to pass to your future generations, we want you to own your home, own your dream. It's an American dream. So it's realtalkrealestateseries.com. We'll have real estate agents talking about the process. We're going to have two different lenders. If you have, you know, low credit score, they're going to say, yes, we may be able to work with you with that credit score. We're going to have credit repair people there with us. We're going to have legal aid. They'll be there to make sure that people, if they have any legal type questions, but any circumstance, we're going to have someone there to talk about that. But our goal is to create homeowners. And it's easier. I told you, I've been real estate agent for 34 years. It's easier than you think. And people think it's a big hassle. It's not. It doesn't cost you anything to learn if you can buy a home. So if nothing else, you can come in and get a plan. A lender will tell you. You'll have one-on-one time with lenders.
We're running out of time, Stacey, real quick. Is there any charge for this on Saturday? You know, when people go to Eventbrite to sign up, is there any charge for that?
Free, just your time. We ask you just to spend a little time with us, and it's a series, so we'll come back again in September. We'll be coming back again. So there's no charge; it's free. Real Talk Real Estate Series .eventbrite.com.
I want to thank Stacey for being our guest today. We never in Cowtown Conversations without a community minute. The deadline to submit a Public Infrastructure Advisory Committee, a PIAC application, is going to be the last day of August. So if you want to submit for sidewalk repair or other projects to improve your neighborhood, submit your application today. Reminder, if you want to apply for rental assistance, submit an application today. You can apply with the City of Kansas City, Tiffany Drummer. You can call 211 to get information on the county, or you can go to jacksongov.org. The City of Kansas City will host a COVID vaccination event this Saturday at City Market from 10 to 2 in front of the Steamboat Arcadia Museum. All three vaccines will be available, Pfizer, which is recently approved by the FDA, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. I would like to thank Stacey for being our guest today. Tune in next week as we'll have our credit expert, Marilyn Chappelle, back as our guest to talk about improving your credit and getting yourself prepared to be able to make a larger purchase. For Cowtown Conversations, been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day. Stay safe. Wear masks. We have a heat advisory, so stay hydrated. And stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.